And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Fox Sports On The Road. And we have a special edition of Fox Sports On The Road here this Saturday morning. Michael Cohen here with you. It is, of course, at this time of the year, it is Memorial Day as we begin, as we recognize veterans from all U.S. wars and the sacrifices they made. The Somerset Patriots do a tremendous job in honoring veterans every year during this day, where they bring in special guests, veterans from past wars, and they recognize them. They have a tremendous, tremendous pregame ceremony, and we're going to talk all about that. We have Joe Usyk, who has joined us, of course, last year. We talked about this ceremony. We're going to talk with him in a few minutes. And we're also going to have a special guest, a World War II veteran, is in our presence here this morning. And he is only 98 years young, and that is Matthew Iacovino. And we also have his. We also have Gloria with him as well. So, welcome everybody. Welcome to Fox Sports On The Road. How are we?
Good. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, before we turn it over to our special guest in Matt, Joe, just want to talk to you first of all. Welcome back. Glad to have you back
Thank
on here
you.
At Fox On The Road.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's talk about this event, and of course, anyone who wants to know more, all active members and veterans will receive complimentary tickets for the event that takes place on Sunday, May 21st, of discounted $5 upper box tickets for their guests. Tickets available online at SomersetPatriots.com by calling 908-252-0700 or the box office located at TD Bank Ballpark. And Joe, I'm going to turn to you. Tell us more about this great event that the Patriots hold every year for our veterans.
Okay. It started 20 years ago. This will be the 20th year. I had approached Steve Califer, and Steve, why don't you honor the veterans? And Steve said, Joe, the ballpark is yours. Whatever you need, we will take care of you. And here it is 20 years later. Steve has gone upstairs, but Josh and Jonathan are honoring the veterans as well as their dad did. It's just a great day to be a veteran. Again, when Steve had asked me if I just wanted to honor Vietnam veterans, I said, Steve, anyone that signs the paper to protect the country belongs on that field. Because I have had some veterans say, well, I was in the National Guard. And I said, listen, you belong on the field. You know, everybody's a hero. You sign a blank check to the U.S. government to whatever amount they want you to take, including the ultimate sacrifice. So that's how it all started.
And, of course, the ceremonies will begin at 12 o'clock noon. This is before the 1 o'clock first pitch on Sunday the 21st. There is a lot involved. There's a lot involved in the festivities, if you can go into more of that.
Also, one quick thing. The gates will open at 11 a.m. to get the fans in. Again, we want to try and get as many fans in. A lot of fans, you know the gates open at 12. They show up 12:15, 12:30, halfway through. So the Patriots have been advertising the gates will be open at 11 to get everyone in. How it started, I've had four different Medal of Honor recipients as my guests. The first one, the first year, was Master Sergeant Nicholas Oresco, World War II Medal of Honor recipient. Then I had Colonel Jack Jacobs, Vietnam Veteran Medal of Honor. I've had the medic Gary Byrick, Medal of Honor Vietnam. I've had General Richard Zillmer, three-star Marine Corps General. I've had Colonel Jason Smith, Silver Star in Fallujah. So the guests... I look to get a good guest. Like I said, this year it's a World War II, which I am in awe of. And it's just, we start with the guest of honor. I actually start the day after the game's over looking for a guest of honor.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have certain contacts that I've been using. We have like a World War II plane flyover. We reenact the flag raising of Iwo Jima with six Marines from Red Bank. Kate Smith will sing God Bless America. I have an honor guard, a color guard. The color guard's from Vietnam Veterans Chapter 233, led by Jimmy Hickson. I have a rifle squad by the John Bazelone Marine Corps League. We have just a great time. We have a professional singer this year, something different we're starting. He did a song called 13. His name is John DeRosa.
Okay.
He did a song 13. It's about the 13 folds of the American flag and what it means as you fold it. And I have a flag that was flown in Fallujah that they're going to be folding. And the two veterans that will be folding the flag are guards from the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, Sergeant Kevin Donovan and Sergeant Lonnie LaGrange. And Lonnie is the president of the guard organization, and they will be folding the flag as John sings the song, and it will be up on the scoreboard. Again, both of these guys are 6'7". I mean, they're huge.
I remember we had Kevin in here last year. Yes. He's a big guy. Yeah,
6'7". We do that, and then, you know, Jonathan and Josh, they make a little thank you to the veterans. But again, there's a whole Patriot staff, starting with Pat McVeary, Mark Rusinoff, Brian, Bobby, Nick in the ticket office. They treat us as all heroes, and it's a nice feeling, and it's been carried on for 20 years.
Well, not only that, but they treat everybody like family. I think that's what's great. That's great. That's what's so
like
great
you
about
had
Patriots.
Said, like John said, too, Steve, was it your family? You're not a fan of your family, and it's just great.
In addition, the Patriots will be wearing a special camouflage uniforms.
Yes.
And they'll be doing, which I believe will then be auctioned off
for the 50-50, and the first 2,000 fans will get camouflage baseballs. Mm-hmm. And the 50-50, we have local organizations that will be part of it. One we have, it's called ARMS, which is in Toms River. And Ronnie Makula collects toys mm-hmm. for Christmas for the children of the deployed veterans. So every child gets that. We have the Gary Sinise Foundation we're going to be distributing. Mm-hmm. And to Matthews, it's Best Defense Foundation, which is... Michael will explain that later at the game. Mm-hmm. And we have Guy Ferrari, who has a huge veteran organization. So it's really just a nice day to be a vet. And it's never rained, 20 years. And it's not raining Sunday because I already called Steve. I said, Steve, no rain.
The rain's on Saturday, but it's on Saturday, not on Sunday. Know that.
Right. One year it was funny. I had my ceremony, and... it was at 5, and the rain came at 6:30. I said, my ceremony's over. It didn't rain on the ceremony. Mm-hmm. So just been a nice, I do it for recognition of the veterans, like we had said. All of us do not get the recognition we deserve. We don't ask for it, but this is a way of me saying thank you to everybody. And again, for me to meet, you know, World War II, Medal of Honor recipients, guards from the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, it's just phenomenal. So.
Well, that's the one thing, and before we get to, again, folks, we're here on Fox Sports On the Road with talking with Joe Usyk, and we're going to welcome in our World War II veteran, Matthew Iacovino, in just a moment. But, you know, this is one thing I always appreciate about Memorial Day. I think it gets missed by a lot of people, even today, is that people kind of, they look at it as, oh, it's just another day off or a day away from office, or, hey, let's go out and get that grill for 50 or 60% off. It's not about that, folks. No. It's about recognition. I wish they would, you know, call it Veteran Recognition Day or just something that you just kind of say, hey, this is really important to memorialize and recognize those that sacrificed, the ultimate sacrifice for the country.
Yeah, what happened was we used to run it in August, which was really pretty hot sometimes.
Yeah.
So last year, because the Patriots are now the New York Yankees, mm-hmm. and on Saturday, the 20th, is Armed Forces Day. So the Yankees wanted to include my ceremony as part of that weekend of Armed Forces Day because at Yankee Stadium, they honor the veterans. Mm-hmm. And during the ceremony, Aaron Judd will make will talk about the veterans and what it means to him. So again, it's part of the Yankees. And it was funny, last year, we figured May would be all right, and it was 95 degrees that day. So hopefully it won't be that this year. But again, it's just something that... all the veterans appreciate, and it's just great to see us all together. And from the World War II to Iraq, Desert Storm, Vietnam, we all have the same thing in common, a brotherhood that only veterans understand. And like I said, I was in the Marine Corps, Vietnam veteran, so I was a sergeant, and I made it back home, and I'm glad to do this. I enjoy it.
What is your process to go out and find veterans like Matthew?
I go online. I talk to other people. I've got some contacts. What happened with Matt was there was a big article about him in the Courier News. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if you had seen it, but it was 2 pages. And I said, wow, what a great guest he would be. And that's how it started. And Colonel Jacobs, Medal of Honor from Vietnam, I met him many times in New York City at Marine Corps functions. And it's just word of mouth. And, hey, why don't you get this... my veteran, what about this veteran? I was leaving in the doctor's office the other day, and a veteran comes out, and World War II veteran, 97. He's a young kid, according to Matt. But he was an underwater demolitions expert in World War II.
Wow.
And he'll be there. So it's just word of mouth or somebody recommends somebody, and I contact them, and that's how it all starts.
That's how it all starts. So right now we're going to take a quick turn. We got a few minutes before we hit our break. We're going to bring in our special guest, and that's Matthew Iacovino.
One more thing.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I just want to make sure, you know, everybody that gets involved, like I said, I've had a singer, Frosty Lawson.
Yes.
We lost him 3 years ago. He was there for 18 years, and he was tremendous. My wife helps me a lot with the recruiters, with the Iwo Jima flag raising.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a whole big family of things that we do, including the Patriots and everything like that. So it's a great day to be a vet. Come out and support us.
Come on out. It's going to be a big day, folks. It's going to begin. It's on Sunday afternoon. Gates open at 11 a.m. And then, of course, the ceremony begins at 12 noon. You already heard from Joe what's involved. There's going to be, of course, the reenactment of raising the flag at Iwo Jima. They're going to have a flyover. And, of course, a number of veterans will be on hand, and the Patriots will be wearing and then having an auction of camouflage uniforms and baseball. So it's going to be a tremendous, tremendous day on Sunday, the 21st. We are going to take our quick break right now. We're going to hit that break right now. When we come back, we're going to have our special guest, and it's going to be all about Matthew Iacovino in just a few moments. Folks, here on Fox Sports On the Road, Michael Cohen here with you, and we are again joined by Joe Usick, who is on my right. In front of me is Matthew Iacovino, as well as Gloria. And Matthew, welcome aboard. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
98 years old, but you look and sound like you're just like you're 20 years younger.
Well, I walk 3 miles every day. That keeps me in shape. Every morning before breakfast, me and my wife do a walk. Otherwise, I'm going to end up in a wheelchair, and I don't want to go there. So that's why I do it.
One thing you told me about when we were just talking off air, off mic, you were working until just recently. Now you're doing a lot of independent projects.
I worked from 1949 till I was 90 years old. I traveled 100 miles round trip every day. And I did 7 years. I quit at 90, or they let me go at 90 because the plant was going to close.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did pro bono work for 7 years, and I'm on my last job for my son now, and then I'm going to quit.
What does your son do?
My son is a financial advisor.
And what your expertise was what, in engineering?
I'm a professional engineer yet, to this date. I have a current license. I think they told me when I take my courses that I'm probably the oldest with a professional engineer with a current license in the state of New Jersey.
Gloria, can you tell us more about just work ethic? I mean, it's incredible, isn't it not?
It really is. It really is incredible. He stays at the computer for hours with his engineering work.
Absolutely. So let's go back in time a little bit here. You were 17 years old.
Yes.
17 years old when you got into the military service. How did you get into the service to begin with?
Well, there was a draft, by the way.
Yep.
And at 17, I was a senior in high school. And it was either to join and try to get into the service that you wanted to get into,
mm-hmm.
or be drafted. I chose, I wanted to be a Navy pilot. But unfortunately, they were looking for kids with 2 years of college, and I was only 17, and I was in my senior year in high school. So I did get into the Navy, so I joined up to get into the Navy and ended up in the Air Force in the Navy. So I served my time in the Navy, in the Air Force.
Where did you grow up?
Where did I grow up?
Where did you grow up, yeah.
I grew up in Port Reading, New Jersey, which is a little town between Woodbridge and Carteret.
Mm-hmm.
It was predominantly an Italian little town.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I went to school, I don't think I spoke English at the time. So here I am.
So tell me more about, what was family life like for you back then? when you were growing up in Port Reading?
Well, in Port Reading, we were very close. Most of the families from Port Reading, my dad and all his friends were immigrants from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I grew up basically in an area where there was mostly Italian people. And when I went to grammar school, I think English is still my problem, believe it or not. Even though I'm an engineer, I still have trouble with English. And fortunately, I can write a technical report. I don't have to worry about nouns and pronouns and verbs. So that's one of the things that really always got to me was the English technical part of the English language,
mm-hmm.
which I never did fully understand, by the way, to this day.
I guess that's probably a good thing and bad thing at the same time, right?
Right.
So were you the first in a family to go out there and serve?
No, I had a brother that landed in Normandy. My brother Phil, who became state PBA president, by the way.
Okay.
He got blown out of a Jeep. He survived.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived to be a policeman and then become state PBA president in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's my background, basically, where I came from. I went to Woodbridge High School.
Yep.
And from there to the service, out of the service, I went to college, became a professional engineer,
mm-hmm.
and here I am, still working.
Still working.
Yeah.
And let's go back to you mentioned before when you were thinking back about your service in World War II. And again, you were flying missions over North Africa and looking for subs.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. So you mentioned that, you know, being 17, 18 years old, it was jarring for a lot of people, but, you know, for kids your age to be in that situation. So.
Well, number one, let me start with this. The Navy did do a good job in training we young kids. I went to aviation ordnance school. I went to gunnery school. I went to radar school. I went to the Navy trained me as a bombardier, and the Navy doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But in Africa, while I was stationed in Africa, they sent me for 4 months to become a bombardier, and the Navy did not use bombardiers. I don't know what that is all about. To this day, I don't know why they trained me for that. So I became a waste gunner in a PBY aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
And our job was to find German subs, try to sink them. It was a job there. We flew every other day, 10 to 11 hours every day. We flew... there's a reason we flew about 50 to 75 feet above the water, which is not easy, by the way, in a big aircraft like a PBY. The reason for that is the equipment that we used was called the magnetic airborne detector, and we could only pick up a sub within 400 feet of our aircraft. And if a sub was down to 300 feet, or 325 feet. So most of our missions were flown between 50 and 75 feet, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
The tough part was finding when you found a hit, by that our equipment would pick up a magnetic interruption in the magnetic lines of the Earth. And that would tell us that there was something in the water that probably was metal, and we had a screen in the aircraft. And mm-hmm. It sort of drew an outline of a sub.
Yeah.
But in most of the, during the war, most of the times there were a lot of sunken ships and subs and all. So there are other factors. We used to drop down sonotubes and try to find or listen to some sub noises. So many times we drop bombs on targets that were not really subs. But the reason for that was that finding a sub is not easy as it looks.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, at the beginning of the war, we had nothing to detect submarines underwater.
Right.
And we were the first squadron in the Navy that had the equipment that was able to detect submarines within 400 feet of our aircraft. And I did every other day. Flying 10, 11. I was a waste gunner after all my training, and we would look for subs. Now, I flew the Mediterranean, I flew the Bay of Biscayne, mm-hmm. and the North Sea.
Mm-hmm.
The toughest place was the Bay of Biscayne. And the reason for that was the German planes came out of France, and our aircraft was not equipped to fight aircraft.
Yeah.
We were equipped to find subs. So when we were looking for subs in the Bay of Biscayne, and many times the Germans submerged and came up and would fight and have a running fight with the aircraft. And we were no match for a group of submarines, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So when we got a notice from the RAF or someone that there were planes on the way, we would have to try to find a cloud and disappear into it. We cannot fight subs, guys, because they were better equipped than war. We only had 250 caliber machine guns in our airplane.
Mm-hmm.
I was one way scudder, and with the other guy was another way scudder, a right and left. We had a twin 30 caliber machine guns in the nose, but we hardly ever used them because we had equipment in there. So we were not equipped to fight anyone.
So there was nobody spotting you? There was no other U.S. military plane around you to say, okay, if we have German planes around,
we have planes flying around us to notify us, or ships to notify us. If planes were coming our way, the best thing to do is to disappear into the cloud. But we're so low and we're so slow, that was a problem, and it was a good chance of getting killed, in plain English.
Yeah.
So that was our mission. And it was a bunch of guys, a bunch of kids. We had a 10-man crew. Eight of us were, I'd say, between 18 and 20. The pilots were maybe 23, 25 years old.
Still, yeah.
And we're all pretty young. And it was, at times, a terrifying experience, but a worthwhile experience that hopefully we did a job well enough to deter the Germans to sink a lot of our ships. And that was basically our job, to make sure the Germans didn't get at our ships. And hopefully our squadron, we sunk four German subs,
mm-hmm.
and a German sub surrendered to my crew in the Bay of Biscayne. And we were the only ones in the Navy that ever had a German submarine ever surrendered to a aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that distinction, and the sub was number 541.
I was going to ask about that.
That was the German sub number that we got. And I did this for 2 years, and fortunately, I survived the 2 years, and I had, through the 2 years, I developed a bond between fellows that's unbreakable.
So, I mean, think about that. You're flying, you know, sometimes just a few hundred feet, you know, not even that. I mean, like you mentioned, 100 feet off the water.
75 and 50 feet off
the off
water.
Yeah, off the water.
Pretty 12, tough.
12 hours a day in all kinds of weather.
Every other day.
In all kinds,
kinds
of
weather.
All kinds of weather. You said for 2 years, so winter, spring, summer, fall, you know, everything. That is just amazing. I mean, to think about that.
Well.
I mean, it really is.
I got to tell you one experience that I'll never forgot.
Yeah.
We took off. We had an amphibian. PBY could be an amphibian or a land plane.
Mm-hmm.
And we unfortunately had an amphibian aircraft. And I remember one morning we had breakfast maybe 4 o'clock in the morning, and we got down to the river.
Yeah.
And there was a plane in front of me, which was number one for takeoff, and we were number two. And on takeoff, it was so foggy that the plane hit a jetty and exploded, and all the kids that I had breakfast with were killed.
Joe, you want to just comment and just your thoughts about the stories that are being heard?
They're just unbelievable. Like you said, it's just something that all veterans have in common, and you can tell how emotional Matt is, and here it is. Like, that was 70 years ago, probably.
Yeah.
And it's still fresh in his mind, and it's just amazing. You know, it's just amazing. That's all I can say.
Well, anyway, I did survive the war. I was sent back to the States to be trained to go to the Pacific. Fortunately, it ended before I was fully trained to go to the Pacific. So, as I always tell everyone, we are no heroes. were just a group of guys that had a job to do, and we did it to the best of our ability. That's most of the servicemen in this country. I don't see much patriotism today with the kids today. I don't see a country that's patriotic anymore today. I'm saddened by what's happening to our military, and I'm disgusted what's transpired right now. And my wife here is cautioning me to not say too much, but I have to say it. I know her.
That's all right.
I have to say because I feel that way. We're not prepared to fight the Chinese right at this minute.
Or in, okay? Yeah.
I don't think. So I can blame the politicians and the political world we live in or live in today. And I don't see kids like my kids,
Your generation, and that's what was so great about your generation. It was the greatest
yeah.
generation.
I mean, I see kids in my generation. We all joined the service to be patriotic, and we were. We didn't get the credit that we deserved many, many times, but we were not looking for credit. We were looking to do a job, and we did a hell of a job, I think, in a war, the young kids, to fight the Germans and the Japanese, and we helped most of the countries. And we never got rewards for helping all the countries in the world. Take a look at what's happening today in Europe.
Yep,
they're
Russians.
Turning against us.
Yep.
And I'm kind of sad, and maybe Joe is also, that I don't see that the country today is patriotic enough so the people all pull together. Sorry, that's the way I feel, and I have to say.
No, that's fine. You guys say what you guys say.
I back Matt on everything he just said. Again, it's no recognition, the politicians, the laws. It's a sad, sad state of the country, and it's just sad, like Matt said, and hopefully it'll get better. So come out to the game and support our veterans.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned friendships. You mentioned the people, the friends you had breakfast with that unfortunately lost their lives. Before we got on here, you mentioned, I asked you about the group of friends that you had on your squadron in your plane. And you mentioned that, you know, years later you guys were still getting together.
We always got together.
Tell me more about those relationships and what they meant for you.
Well, my friends were so good to me. I had a friend that was my best friend in the Navy called Tom O'Grady. I have the pleasure of calling his daughter my adopted daughter, and she's going to be at the game representing her father. He got killed in an automobile accident, unfortunately, but I never forgot him, and I never forgot all my friends in the Navy. That was my life.
Gloria, can you tell me more about, you know, growing up with him and his experience and getting to know him over the years?
Well, unfortunately, I did not know Matt
at that
time. We have been together for 25 years.
Yeah.
So he rarely talks about his service. I've asked him many questions, and he kind of fluffs them off. But he does talk about his friends and the friendships that were forged during his service have been so meaningful to him over the years.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean for you when you found out about this event that the Patriots are holding?
I was surprised, first of all, that Michael Malone asked me about the Patriots and would I be interested. First, he asked me if I would go to the grammar school and give a talk to the kids in the grammar school, which I did, and I was really, really surprised. The kids were very bright. They asked a lot of questions, and I didn't realize you could speak for an hour straight without stopping. And after the services that I gave, I was asked if I would go again and do it. And for the kids, yes, I would do it because I think it would be good for them to know something about what happened in World War II, which is dying by this time.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone really knows too much about World War II.
That's a sad
thing. I don't
think
they teach it in school anymore. They're teaching some gobbledygook that doesn't make sense to anybody anymore. And Gloria, please stop kicking me. And I have to say how I feel. I think Joe is the same boat I'm in. And
10-4.
Yeah, so here we are, you know?
What is it going to – you mentioned this, the lack of understanding education of now more recent generations. I mean, Joe, you saw – I mean, you know, I don't want to – you know, you saw it even during – your generation, you know, veterans coming back from Vietnam, there wasn't that kind of appreciation.
There was no appreciation.
There was none.
We were told not to wear uniforms. We got name called. We had eggs thrown us.
Yeah.
It was just a sad, sad time for America. And like Matt had said, we did our job. We signed to defend America. And right now, America's in trouble. And, you know, we still have many, many veterans out there in Syria, Africa. People have no idea where the veterans are and what they're doing to let us, Matt and I today, sit here and talk on this radio, to go to the store, to go to the mall. I mean, it's just, it's a sad state of affairs right now.
It sure is, Joe, and I don't see anything at this time where the country is going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. There's no patriotism. The veterans are spit upon, like Joe, when they came back from Vietnam. That's what we faced when we came home from the war. Okay, now we don't even have a military I don't think we have a military ready to fight. So why, Joe? Maybe you know better than I do, but
politics.
Yeah. Politics have killed the military in this country. I hope. That we are getting ready, and far as I know, getting ready to be prepared, because we're going to fight the Chinese, there's no doubt in my mind, or the Russians.
Mm-hmm. And he was going to ask you, when Michael asked you about being a guest at the veteran game, what was your feelings? Mike is a police officer, and he's the president of the Best Defense
Foundation.
Mm-hmm. And he actually takes World War II veterans back to Normandy.
Oh, wow.
He does so much for veterans. He will be at the game. But again, Matt, when Mike asked you about the veteran game, what was your attitude or feeling?
Well, I said, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
That a little guy like me, I'm just a young kid in the service. I did my job. Why would they want me? I'm no hero. I just did my job with the rest of the guys that deserve more credit than I do. So I was really pleased that he offered it to me. And I was really pleased when he asked me to speak to the children in grammar school. I thought that was very, very important, because I don't think the kids know too much about World War II, especially what they're teaching today. Mm-hmm. So, and they are going to send me to Normandy. I'm going to Normandy for 7 days.
Mm-hmm. When is that going to happen?
That's going to be the 30th of this month. We're there for 7 days. I've been to Normandy.
Okay.
My brother, I have to speak about my brother.
Sure.
My brother was a infantryman in the Normandy. He got blown out of a Jeep.
Right.
He survived. My brother became a police officer, became PBA state president, and he served his country well. Mm-hmm. So I want to mention him. In this particular instance.
You've mentioned you've been to Normandy. When was the last time?
I've been to Normandy. Gloria and I have been to Normandy. I wanted to see Normandy. I was, by the way, when my brother was landing in Normandy, I was flying the Mediterranean. I never forgot it, looking for German subs and ships.
Right.
So that's the association I have with my brother during the war in Normandy. So even though I was close to where my brother was stationed when he was put in the hospital. Unfortunately, I was in Africa at the time. I was not in England, so I missed my brother being in the hospital, and I could very well have gone there because we had planes in England at the time. That's a long story with the Red Cross, but that's another story in my life that I don't want to get into.
Yeah.
And he wanted to know, when did you go to Normandy last?
Yeah.
Was it 2 years ago?
It's been about 5 years.
About five years ago.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to take a very quick break. We'll come back. We're going to talk more about the event coming up and your involvement in the event. And also, I have here a proclamation from the mayor and town council from New North Brunswick. We'll talk about that in just a second. back here, Fox Sports on the Road. Michael Cohen here with you. You, as I have here, some great guests. As again, the Somerset Patriots will be honoring veterans on Sunday, May 21st. The gates will open at TD Bank Ballpark at 11 a.m. The ceremony begins at 12 noon, and then of course, first pitch between the Patriots and Reading Fighting Phils sometime after 1 o'clock. Join me from right to left. I have Joe Usick. I have our World War II veteran guest of honor at the. He'll be the guest of honor at the Patriots Memorial Day service, and that is Matthew Iacovino. Matthew, how you doing? And of course, we have his wife Gloria with us as well. So, I have here this proclamation. This was sent to me this morning from the Mayor and Town Council of North Brunswick, recognizing your service. Can you just talk more about this proclamation?
I have that.
Yeah, just tell me more about that honor. What was that honor like for you?
Mike had gotten that for him. Not sure if he even knew about it.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, you know, I'm not sure if he knows, you know, exactly what it says.
Sure. It just says that the Township of North Brunswick's Veterans Street Sign Program allows township residents who were wartime veterans to be recognized by adding their name on a secondary street sign to an existing municipal road. Whereas by adding names of local wartime veterans to public street signs, we hope to promote public awareness of those individuals and show our appreciation for their outstanding contributions and service to our country as members of the U.S. Armed Forces. Whereas eligible military candidates for this honor include honorable discharge veterans having served in military departments as defined under the Department of Defense, which includes the Departments of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard. So that's the proclamation. Just talk more about that honor.
They named the street.
Named the streets after you.
Yes, I have a street named after me.
What does that mean for you? What does that mean for you?
It means a lot to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish they all veterans should have their name on a street signs,
yeah.
Not just me.
Mm-hmm.
In North Brunswick. I'm sure there are veterans, World War II veterans that are passed away in North Brunswick. By the way, I haven't ran into another World War II veteran in the last 15 years.
Really?
Yes.
You will on Sunday.
Well, that'll change.
I haven't. I meet Vietnam veterans and some Korean War veterans, not many.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm one of the few that's left in the area, and I feel kind of out of place here anymore.
What are your thoughts about Sunday, about this event with the Patriots? When you go onto a baseball field and you're surrounded by veterans of all recent wars, of course, even World War II.
I feel humbled by the veterans, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many veterans that did so much for this country. I just did my small part. As I said, we're all heroes, not me. I'm not a hero. I'm just a member of the Navy Patrol Squadron that did my job. And that's what I trained to do. That's what I did. And that's what all the servicemen did. So I always say there's only heroes that are dead now. They're the heroes. So here I am. Hopefully I get a couple more years, but we never know.
Never know. Never know. But again, folks, we're here with Matthew Iacovino as well as Joe Usick. We got Matthew's wife Gloria with us as well. Just final thoughts, everyone, just your thoughts about this great event that's taking place on Sunday. I'll go around the room. Joe, we'll start with you.
Okay, again, it's a great event. Please come out and support our veterans. Again, the Califer family, the Patriots are tremendous in honoring the veterans. My guest of honor, I'm in awe of him. He's a World War II veteran. It's just amazing that everything that he has done and is doing, it's just a great day to be a veteran. So please come out and support us.
Well, I'm honored, and it's for all veterans. It's not just for me. So I represent all the veterans in the country, and hopefully I did my job well to serve my country.
I'm very excited about the event. I've met so many wonderful people, including Joe Usick and Michael Malone with the Best Defense Foundation, and just a host of others, the management of the Patriots, and learning about the Patriots and how they got their name. I'm so proud of Matt being honored, and it's just a real privilege.
All right, folks, again, May 21st, that's tomorrow, Sunday, 11 a.m. gates open at TD Bank Ballpark. We look forward to seeing you all there, and it's going to be an incredible, incredible afternoon. We look forward to seeing it Just last thing I got to say is, well, God bless America. There you go. Thank you, everybody.